At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A new week begins live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We recap everything you need to know from the Week 3 NFL Sunday slate. 13 games, including Sunday night in Atlanta, to break down and react to. Lisi, we said Week 3 would be a time to learn a ton about all 32 of these NFL organizations. We did that on Sunday. Our reactions to our early reactions. And of course, Week 3 not over yet. Not just one Monday Night Football game, but two to end out the Week 3 slate.
Yeah, it's going to be great action tonight between the Commanders and Cincinnati, two Heisman Trophy winners that played for LSU. We have Trevor Lawrence squaring off on the road against Josh Allen. But yesterday was great action, Ben. We saw teams step up. Best team on paper still because they're the Super Bowl champs are the Kansas City Chiefs. They grind out another victory. But, you know, more question marks about some other teams, right? Teams like Dallas and San Francisco that lost yesterday, both now 1-2 on the season. What happens with both of those teams moving forward? Because I don't think a lot of people expected that in week number three.
No, I don't think so at all, Joe. Part of the statements that we learned on Sunday, and it's the year of the underdog through 3 weeks, as we'll break down in a minute as well. Let's start, though, with Sunday Night Football in Atlanta. There are four teams, as of this moment, that are a perfect 3-0. Buffalo has the opportunity to join that group and make it 5 with a victory at home on this Monday night in Western New York against Jacksonville. But for the moment, at the end of the Week 3 Sunday slate, four teams that are a perfect 3-0, and that includes the Kansas City Chiefs, the two-time reigning Super Bowl champs, trying to make history to become the first ever team to win 3 consecutive Super Bowls. Is looking pretty good so far. Unblemished, a perfect 3-0 in the defense, stepping up last night against the Falcons. Lisi guy, it was 14-13 at the half, Atlanta in front. We only saw 12 combined points, and the Chiefs did not score any in the fourth quarter, but still held on for a road victory, making a huge stop on 4th and inches, under a minute left, inside their own 15-yard line. Nick Bolton denies Bijan Robinson the first down, and Kansas City wins and covers as a 3-point road favorite, 22-17.
Yeah, the one thing that travels well is defense, right? And that's what Kansas City has. Now, controversial calls on both sides of the ball, the interference penalty in the end zone or non-call in regards to that, and then the call in regards to the 4th and inches to go outside on that Kansas City defense that can run sideline to sideline when potentially you could have gotten a quarterback sneak or a tush push type of opportunity. Why did Raheem Morris and the offensive staff go that route? But again, at the end of the day, no matter what, that defense by Steve Spagnuolo stepped up yet again. They're 3-0. It hasn't looked pretty, Ben. But again, it didn't look pretty last year either. And once they got to the playoffs, they kicked it into high gear. So as long as the defense is playing at an elite level, it doesn't matter. They have the best quarterback in each and every game, and that's Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, they certainly do, Joe. And Pat Mahomes, after the game himself, saying he has to be better. 5 touchdowns to 4 INTs throughout the first 3 weeks. He has thrown an interception in all 3 games, including one that in the matchup, Justin Simmons continues to take advantage of. But it was the Chiefs defense that won the day. And a couple of questionable coaching decisions from Raheem Morris. Twice in that fourth quarter, Atlanta tried to go on 4th down inside KC's 15-yard line. They were stifled in the possession before the final possession and stifled there at the end. Joe, had they decided to take the points and kick a field goal on 4th and goal from the 6, about midway left in that fourth quarter, it would have only been a 3-point game, or a 2-point game rather, where the 3 points of a field goal at the end, as they were inside KC's 15-yard line, would have won Atlanta that matchup. But we have seen it oftentimes. Sadly, a lot of coaches passing on field goals this year.
Yeah, again, analytics play a part into that, and I guess some coaches as well feel like they want to be aggressive to put the kill shot. That's all well and good, but if you're going to make that type of decision, you have to dial up plays that obviously give your team the best option to win the matchup, right? I mean, 4th and inches, you're going outside. I mean, I understand that Kirk Cousins has got the Achilles tendon surgery from last year, but again, if he's not healthy, then don't get him under center. We know he is, right? He stepped up yesterday. My point is you have to take the best option to give your team an opportunity to win, and running outside was clearly not the right call in that type of assessment. But again, you know, Raheem Morris, I credit him for being aggressive, but you have to be aggressive in the right type of situations with the right plays, and they didn't do that last night.
It was the 2nd-to-last drive for Atlanta. They went 15 plays, 83 yards, over 7 minutes of clock, and just over 4 minutes left in the 4th and final quarter. They come away with no points, passing on what would have been a chip shot field goal for Younghoe Koo, instead looking for a touchdown. I know they were down by 5, but there was still time to be played. I guess the thought is you give Patrick Mahomes the ball back. It's a very difficult thing to do. Leasing guy Travis Kelce continues to be off to a slow start this year. Rashee Rice, not the case. 110 yards and a touchdown last night. Last year, the conversation around the Chiefs was this was the year to pick them off. The offense had slowed down to a halt. It hasn't even been great to start, and they've lost Isaiah Pacheco. And yet, here is KC, 3-0 after 3 weeks.
Yeah, and they have role players that step up. Carson Steele with, 72 yards on the ground last night in regards to the victory. They still have Xavier Worthy. They're trying to find how to utilize him in regards to the offense. But Rashee Rice is really taking over the number one wide receiver position. You know, it's similar to what he had with Tyreek Hill, not the same type of player, but he feels confident going to Rashee Rice in critical situations. The yards after the catch are there, 12 receptions over another 100-yard performance. I mean, he really is stepping up and emerging as being one of the elite players in regards to the league. So as long as you have that, Ben, you still can count on potentially Pat Mahomes to find the open receiver. He finds them each and every time in big games. And again, I know he hasn't played consistent, but he still, when the chips are in the middle of the table, finds ways to get it done.
Yeah, he certainly does, Joe. And that will be the case for Mahomes and the Chiefs here moving forward. One of 4 teams after Week 3's Sunday slate that is unbeaten, 3-0. And a few teams, Joe, in that group outside of KC that might be rather surprising. We had 2 matchups between 2 undefeated teams that had started the year 2-0 on our Sunday slate. Let's start in Minneapolis. The Vikings playing host to the Houston Texans. The Vikes, a perfect 3-0, and in their last 2 weeks, they've won outright as a home underdog, absolutely hammering Houston 34-7 on Sunday.
Yeah, and I said this in the pregame yesterday, you know, as impressive as Sam Darnold and that offense have been, I've been more impressed with the defense, right? The defense shutting down San Francisco last week, they completely handcuffed Daniel Jones, and you can make the assessment, oh, that was Daniel Jones. But then they go in and play Houston yesterday, and C.J. Stroud and that offense were completely taken out of their game plan, right? They didn't really score until the 4th quarter. And I'll say this, The best maybe off-field and free agent addition that they picked up was Aaron Jones. I mean, he's unbelievable catching the football for 30 yards. Another, you know, great performance on the ground. Him and Ty Chandler are getting it done with the rushing attack. And Sam Darnold, 4 touchdowns on 181 yards. That's great, Ben. This team is clicking on all cylinders. And I said it, a $1.50 to 1 for MVP for Sam Darnold. If they run the table, it's a lottery thing.
I mean, listen, right now, Joe, he has looked the ilk of an MVP contender. Only 180 plus yards yesterday, not even over 2 bills, but 4 touchdown tosses and efficient once again, his first game without an INT so far this year. We'll talk about Minnesota's upset. We'll talk about the Steelers improving to 3-0 and all the other upsets around the NFL from week 3 next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it's Football Full Circle. Lisi guy, let's continue to give its due to Minnesota from Sunday. 34-7, the victory over the Texans. Minnesota wins outright as a short 1.5, 2-point underdog at home in the Twin Cities. The Vikings, one of 4 teams following week 3 Sunday slate that is already improved to a perfect 3-0 record. Minnesota 3-0 for the first time since 2016. You mentioned Aaron Jones before the break. 102 rushing yards, 46 receiving yards, nearly $1.50 in terms of scrimmage, yardage, output, and a touchdown. And oh, Justin Jefferson had 81 yards and a touchdown. Everybody rallying around Sam Darnold, who is off to a great start, threw 4 touchdowns yesterday against the Texans.
And Kevin O'Connell's done a fantastic job in regards to game planning and coaching this team up. I mean, clearly it has really overexceeded expectations this year. I think people thought, oh, well, you know, Sam Darnold is a bridge gap quarterback to get to J.J. McCarthy. I mean, that might have been the best, you know, news. Unfortunately, you don't want to see, obviously, McCarthy, you know, get hurt in any capacity. Right. But the fact that Sam Darnold has stepped in and emerged himself as a starter and has stepped up and elevated his game, they're undefeated, Ben. I mean, the way they knocked off San Francisco, grinded it out, low-scoring game. They just shut down one of the most prolific offenses in the AFC and won that game by basically 27 points. I mean, that is a dominant effort when you think about defensively who they shut down. And as long as that offense is balanced, they're going to be there. They're going to be a potential 11 or 12-win football team the way they're playing.
I mean, they're playing really good football at this moment. A perfect 3-0 against the spread as well. Covering as a short favorite in MetLife week 1, hammering the Giants, making the Niners look really bad last week as a 4-point home underdog, and then outright again as an underdog on Sunday. There are 4 3-0 straight up teams, Lisi guy. There are only 2 3-0 against the spread teams, one being Minnesota, as we referred to, the other being the Pittsburgh Steelers, who also qualify as one of those 4 3-0 teams at the end of the week 3 Sunday slate. The Steelers beat the Bolts 20-10 at home in the Steel City. Pittsburgh was a 3-point home favorite. Total was 35.5. It was the lowest number of the weekend. It stays under, and the Steelers improved to that 3-0 start. The Chargers entered undefeated as well. So a big victory for Pittsburgh, where Justin Fields was really good on Sunday, Joe. It seems as though he has done enough to be the Steelers starter.
Yeah, again, I said it from the start of the year. I'm not backing down. He gives them the best option to win games, and he's an above-average quarterback. He's starting to understand the scheme even better now. You saw the big throws to Calvin Austin to get the big touchdown pass, put his team in multiple times and positions to score points, and we saw his ability to score on the goal line, right? That's the added dimension that I still don't think you have with Russell Wilson. The team is bought in. Defense is playing lights out. Now, you know, they were a little suspect when Justin Herbert was in there. He was starting to pick apart that secondary somewhat. He gets the high ankle sprain, gets hit again, and then obviously Heinicke comes in and they close it out by 10 points. But that was a dominant effort from Justin Fields, in my opinion. Again, You know, all this pressure, should he be the guy? Shouldn't he be the guy? And all he has done, Ben, is win games. And now he's stepping up in the passing attack, putting the ball right where it should be. I mean, what more can you ask for from Justin Fields at this point?
Not much, at least in my estimation, Joe. In the first few weeks, they did not ask him to do much, as you alluded to. But yesterday, 25 of 32 for 245, a touchdown, albeit an interception. Also scored a rushing touchdown for Pittsburgh as well. They came back in that football game. They held the Chargers scoreless in the second half and held LA to only 61 rushing yards as a team. And yes, Justin Herbert did aggravate that ankle injury that made him even questionable entering this matchup. The Chargers now, after suffering their first loss of the season, will host another undefeated team next week, the Chiefs in L.A. KC opens as an early 7-point favorite. And Lisa, we've been a lot about Pittsburgh, obviously, under Mike Tomlin. 18 years, never a losing record, never less than 8 wins in a season. And if they're an underdog, you better believe they can cover or maybe win outright. But since the end of the Big Ben era, his last year, Ben Roethlisberger, was 2021. So from 2022 on, the Steelers have been a favorite 15 times now. They're 10-5 against the spread. It's the best cover percentage in the National Football League in the last 2+ years. As the favorite side, Pittsburgh looks really good to start.
They do. And Mike Tomlin's a great coach. I don't think he's lost it in regards to being at the, you know, towards the end of his career. He still has his teams in positions from a game planning perspective. This certainly isn't Bill Belichick, where it looked like the game passed him by because of his age. I mean, Mike Tomlin's an older coach, but he's a young guy and really coaches up young talent. He's a blue collar type of guy and finds ways to get the most out of that ball club. And that's all you can ask for. And defensively, we had those concerns when they started to slip a couple of years ago, right? Cam Hayward, that front seven, were giving up a ton of yards on the ground. That's not the case anymore, right? The back end's playing lights out as well, opportunistic. That's a perfect recipe to win an AFC championship. We have to see if they can maintain that. But again, they have their trigger man. Justin Fields is the guy. There should be no more quarterback controversy.
No, I agree with you, Joe. We'll see what their plan is based on the calf injury / health of Russell Wilson. All right, elsewhere around the NFL, let's go to New Orleans. The Saints entered the weekend unbeaten 2-0. They were a 2.5-point favorite against the Eagles with a total of 48.5, and it stayed well under. Philadelphia wins 15-12. Joe, there were 3 combined points between these two teams entering the fourth quarter before we saw a little bit of offense. New Orleans scored its only touchdown of the game with just over 2 minutes left. The Eagles responded quickly in the next 62 seconds down the field, and Saquon Barkley paying it off with his second touchdown of the day. It was a 61-yard pass where Dallas Goedert got wide open crossing the field and down the sideline running. That really opened it up for Philadelphia. The Eagles 2-1. The Saints, after their first loss of the year, also 2-1.
Yeah, we saw that Philly defense finally step up with Vic Fangio. They need to continue dominant road effort.
Yeah, certainly dominant. 91 points scored by New Orleans in their opening 2 games, only 12 against Philadelphia on Sunday. We'll go to the Star, the Cowboys and the Ravens. Up next, the recap here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. Lisi Guy, huge game on Sunday at the Star in Dallas. As we said, entering the weekend, as we reiterate now, we were able to learn a lot from week number 3. The Ravens entered week 3 winless, 0-2, trying to avoid what would be a disastrous 0-3 start, as no Super Bowl champ had ever started 0-3. And since the turn of the millennium in 2000, only one team, the 2018 Texans, started 0-3 and ended up making the postseason. So you could have argued that Baltimore's season on the brink entering the matchup against the Cowboys. Turns out their season is still alive, picking up their first win of the year, 28-25, as a short 1.5-point favorite in Dallas, minus 126 or so on that money line. Lisa, guy got a little dicey late in the game. The Cowboys came back. They recovered an onside kick that went through the arms of Zay Flowers. They scored a touchdown, but ultimately the Ravens do hold on 28-25 to get win number one of this season.
Yeah, and they had almost a three-score lead at halftime. It was Derrick Henry that took the game over in the first half. 151 yards on the ground. He added 23 in terms of the receiving game. That's why you got Derrick Henry, right? Specifically for games on the road and the playoffs, no, where you can pound the rock. We haven't seen that, especially in the first couple of weeks of the season. He had 18 carries last week for 84 yards, but last night, we saw that old Derrick Henry, 2,000-yard rusher, where people are afraid to tackle him, and he looked like he was back in Alabama last night. So, you know, credit the Ravens. They stuck to the game plan. Lamar played well within the scheme, and that defense made Dak Prescott completely one-dimensional until about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. More question marks on Dallas right now than there are on Baltimore.
Yeah, and Lisa, you'll look at the end of overall score in this game between two teams we expect to still get the double digits despite a 1-2 start. And you'll say, ooh, what a competitive football game in Dallas. The Cowboys scored 19 of their 25 points in the fourth and final quarter. They were down 21-6 at the break. And you'll look at the stats and you'll see Dak Prescott throwing for 379 and two touchdowns. He was 28 of 51. In fact, I agree with you. I think this game was even further issues for the Cowboys moving forward. 16 carries as a team for 51 yards. Ezekiel Elliott, 3 attempts, 4-6 yards. Jake Ferguson was back in the lineup and had 95 of the 379 that Dak had thrown for. CeeDee Lamb, 7 targets, but only 4 grabs for 67 yards. Did not find Pater. And it led to frustrations boiling over on the sideline between CD and Dak. It's a part of the game. It's probably not a plaguing thing moving forward. But the reason frustrations boil over, Joe, is because of Dallas's disappointing start, just 1-2. They beat up on what seems to be a bad Browns team week number one, and now have lost 2 consecutive games at home, the last 3 home games for the Cowboys, because prior they had a 19-game home win streak. Playoffs against Green Bay, week 2 against the Saints, week 3 against the Ravens, they've dropped all 3 in a row.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, you could say it's Dak, it's CD, and that's all well and good. But if you look at the last 2 losses, right, especially at home to New Orleans and this game with Baltimore, the interior line play has been absolutely atrocious. They haven't been able to run the football. They had 30 yards last week, or Rico Dowdle did. They had less than 80. They rushed for less than 3.5 yards per carry last week. You can make the assessment, okay, that was due to them falling behind. Fast forward to this week, what do they have? They had 3.2 yards per rush and 51 total yards. Not only that, but they can't stop the run. Derrick Henry in that offense put, 274 yards on the ground, 6 yards per rush. We saw it last week with Alvin Kamara, 115 for him and 3 touchdowns. They can't stop the run, and they can't run the football consistently. You could make all you want and put all the pressure on Dak, and rightfully so because he's the quarterback. But again, the offense and defensive lines need to get much better for this team to be competitive and beat the better teams in the NFC.
Dallas now in 11-1 price. That's 6th best in the NFC. The Vikings have moved in front of them at 10-1. The Packers, a 9-1 number. Yeah. 2 starts with Malik Willis. 2 victories for the Pack outright as an underdog. Malik Willis going back to Nashville and looking really good against the Tennessee Titans. We'll get Lisi's thoughts on this game on the other side. 202 yards, a touchdown for Willis. 13 of 19 was also Green Bay's leading rusher. 73 yards and a touchdown. The Packers continue to run for more than 5 yards per carry this year. Will Levis is struggling. We'll talk Green Bay, part of the underdogs that won outright on Sunday. Up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. The Packers, Joe, have had Malik Willis start two games. They have won each outright as an underdog in both, including getting 2.5 points yesterday in Tennessee. Willis against his former team. He said it wasn't a revenge game. He just had to leave Tennessee wishing they still had him as their quarterback. 202 yards, a touchdown through the air, 73 more on the ground, and another score. The reason Tennessee further wishes it had a different quarterback, Will Levis, 260 and two touchdowns, fine. Two more interceptions and a fumble. This guy has had multiple turnovers in each of the first three games for the Titans, who remain 0-3, still looking for that first win of the season.
Yeah, again, Green Bay's finding ways to win, right? They're getting solid quarterback play, but they're running the football consistently. And I'll say it again, like, much like Minnesota, I've been more impressed as well with that defense. That defense has held them together where they're in each and every game outside the game number one against Philadelphia. You know, they've really forced turnovers and really grinded out victories. Again, they're very difficult to get chunk plays on, and they're going to be very difficult moving forward with or without Jordan Love. Depending upon the time frame that he comes back, we're hoping he's back within a week or two. But, you know, if as long as you can run the football, Ben, that's all you need. That offensive line is gelling. And I'll just say this about Malik Willis. You know, Malik Willis, Sam Darnold, and even Justin Fields, happy to see that all the three of those players are finding success outside their former teams, right? I mean, sometimes a change of scenery is better, right? And we always talk about coaching staffs, wrong coaching staffs, right coaching staffs, getting the most of the talent.
Yeah, absolutely so. New schemes, new styles, whatever it might be, putting in positions of success. And certainly Matt LaFleur has designed a scheme that works very well for Willis, and they are taking advantage. It will be Green Bay and Minnesota at Lambeau on Sunday in a marquee matchup and a divisional duel between those two NFC North teams. Speaking of quarterback decisions, Brian Callahan saying, the new head coach in Tennessee, that Will Levis is still the starter and the team has confidence. You tell me, man. Tennessee's got a chance. They will be the only 0-3 team at the end of week three. Both the Bengals and the Jags looking for their first win of the year. Jacksonville, an underdog in Buffalo. Cincy, a 7.5-point home favorite. There could be two 0-3 teams based on the odds, both residing in the AFC South. Lisa Guy, let's spin it around to the underdogs yesterday. Green Bay outright as a 2.5-point dog. We saw four teams that were booked as a 5.5-point underdog or greater win outright. It has been a story of this season in the National Football League. The four that won outright yesterday, the Broncos, 26-7 in Tampa against the previously unbeaten Buccaneers. That game, 26-7, Bo Nix did not throw a touchdown, but also did not throw an interception for the first time of his NFL career, had a rushing score.
Yeah, played well within the scheme. I talked about it. I thought this would be a very difficult game for Tampa Bay because Sean Payton started 0-2, right, on the road. I thought he would get back to basics and potentially run the football. We saw former Missouri Tiger running back Tyler Beatty get some carries. They rushed for over 100 yards, 4.9 yards per rush. That defense shut down a high-powered offensive passing attack in terms of Baker Mayfield, right? I mean, they jumped out to a three-score lead, never looked back. And again, you look at Houston, you look at Tampa Bay last night, and you're saying, what happened? You know, but both of those defensive efforts were solid, and now this team potentially could move to 500 after this week. And I thought Nick's played very well, short to intermediate throws. He didn't challenge a lot deep, but he didn't have to because they had the rushing attack yesterday, Ben.
Yeah, they certainly did, Joe, and it was a really solid rushing attack for Denver. They knock off the Bucs, handing Tampa its first loss, 26-7. Sometimes you just got to see your young quarterbacks play clean football. Bo Nix did that. Elsewhere, it wasn't a young quarterback. In fact, it was the young quarterback, Bryce Young, being placed on the bench. It was the veteran, Andy Dalton, leading the Panthers to their first victory of 2024 and just their third win since the start of 2023, 36-22 against the Raiders outright as a 5.5-point underdog. Joe, Carolina, who was 4-13-2 against the spread even in the 19 games since the start of last year as an underdog, wins outright as an underdog in Las Vegas. Andy Dalton, 300-plus yards, 3 touchdowns thrown, the first NFL quarterback of the season to throw for 300 and 3 touchdowns in the same game. And Carolina gets a win for the first time in the 2024 season.
Yeah, I mean, well, where was that offense? Oh, yeah, Bryce Young didn't start in terms of that ball game, right? Now, we thought we would get better output, but Andy Dalton's a veteran, understands Dave Canales' scheme, and he stepped up. The biggest disappointment, Ben, was how the Raiders played. I mean, I was really disappointed. You get the victory as almost a 10-point underdog on the road in Baltimore, and where was Gardner Minshew? Where was Amir White in the rushing attack? Defensively, they fell apart, and we saw the press conference with Antonio Pierce saying they're going to make business decisions. But that's after the fact. I thought for sure they would get multiple sacks on Andy Dalton. That was typically not the case. He had all day to throw yesterday.
No. The offense looked great. Chuba Hubbard running for more than 100 yards on the ground as well. He did say, that being Antonio Pierce, that some Raiders players made business decisions, it seemed, and they would then make business decisions as well moving forward. So those were the two 5.5-point underdogs to win outright. I said 4 underdogs at 5.5 points or greater. Let's go to the guys that were nearly a full touchdown underdog. Let's start in Cleveland. The Giants pulling off the upset for win number 1 this year over Cleveland. Joe, the opening kick of the game, the Giants fumble. Cleveland recovers. The Browns then, Deshaun Watson, Amari Cooper on the very first play from scrimmage, touchdown. Just like that, 15 seconds into the game, Cleveland wins 7-0. Oh my God, the G-men once again. New York scores 21 unanswered and then holds on at the end, 21-15. The G-men get their first win of the year outright as a 6.5-point underdog.
Yeah, well, they have playmakers now. We saw Malik Nabers with 2 touchdowns. We saw Wandale Robinson being used, 45 yards receiving. And Daniel Jones in back-to-back games has played very well in regards to the scheme. They're starting to stretch defenses vertically. And, oh, by the way, they had a place kicker this week to make extra points. So that's always a benefit, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, that helps, right? Again, are they going anywhere? Yeah. I don't know if they're going anywhere, but that's good. Yeah. That's good from that offense. Brilliant.
I mean, Greg Joseph did miss a field goal try, but again, did deliver on 3 extra points. Frankly, if the Giants had made their 3 extra points a week ago, they would have beaten the Commanders. But of course, that was not the case. And you are right, Joe. Daniel Jones, 2 touchdown passes in each of the past 2 weeks, has been pretty efficient with the football, and Malik Nabers on the receiving end this time around. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson, 21-37. For 196 yards and 2 touchdowns. All right, that's not bad. It's fine, whatever. It's nothing magnificent. Sacked 8 times. The Browns have some serious issues. Winless at home, just 1-2 this year. The other 6.5-point underdog to win outright, the injured L.A. Rams against the injured San Francisco 49ers. L.A., a 6.5-point underdog, down by 10 early in the fourth quarter. They rally all the way back, and it was Joshua Carty, the rookie kicker out of Stanford, delivering a 37-yard field goal late to propel the Rams to a huge upset over San Fran. The Rams are now 1-2, but so too are the Niners. Los Angeles wins outright as a 6.5-point dog.
Yeah, and this loss is more concerning for San Francisco because of how beat up the Rams were. They had no weapons on the outside, no Puka, no Kupp. The offensive line had 3 starters down, and they still found ways to protect Matt Stafford. We saw Tutu Atwell step up and lead all receivers for the Rams. We saw the rushing attack take over with Kyren Williams. Great effort by Sean McVay. He found a way to steal one.
3 total touchdowns for Kyren Williams, the 36th. Game-winning drive that Matthew Stafford has led in his NFL career. It's top 10 all time. I just got to say I'm disappointing in you. I learned that you did not have Juwan Jennings on the card. You are Mr. Juwan Jennings, 175 yards and 3 touchdowns. We'll get Lisi's take next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. A few more thoughts from Sunday. We'll preview Monday on the other side. Lisi got a battle of some young quarterbacks that still continue to struggle a little bit in Indianapolis. It was not a high-scoring game. That wasn't really the expectation. 21-16, the Colts pick up their first victory of the year. Under 43.5 comes through, and Indy does cover as a 2.5-point home favorite. But the quarterback play, not very good. The ground game, good for Indianapolis, still remains porous for Chicago, and that was the difference. Anthony Richardson, 10 of 20 for a 167, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Caleb Williams, 363, threw his first touchdown and his second of his NFL career, but still 2 interceptions for a second consecutive week. Was also sacked 4 times as the Bears' offensive line continues to struggle. Chicago as a team, 28 carries for 63 yards, Joe. On the other side, Jonathan Taylor ran it for 23 times, 110 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That was the difference. Indy picks up its first win of the year. The Bears fall to 1-2.
Yeah, so you want to see the progression out of Caleb Williams, right? So we have to see if this continues next week where he's in a rhythm, right? And he could throw for well over 250 yards. If that's the case, then obviously you're headed in the right direction. Biggest cause of concern, though, is the offensive line. When you can't run it consistently, you're putting your quarterback into long third down situations. And we knew they had one of the better rushing attacks last year, averaging basically 140 yards on the ground. So, again, that needs to change for this team to compete for an NFC North title. I thought the Indianapolis Colts were the right side because they were at home. I think Steichen's a better coach, and we saw the emergence again of Jonathan Taylor. But here's the problem, Ben. You know, the expectation on Chicago wasn't to be just get Caleb Williams ready. We knew it was 8.5 wins, potentially a good, better price to make the playoffs than Tampa Bay and some of the other teams that cracked in there. And now you have to show it. You know, Eberflus, I'll still say, is on the hot seat. And again, the losses are adding up, and Caleb is turning the football over. Not a good recipe to win games.
No, not at all, Joe. And you're right. This coaching staff very much coaching for their jobs at the moment. It has not been a good recipe to start this year for Chicago. Joe, injuries continue to plague the quarterback room in Miami. Tua Tagovailoa placed on IR earlier in the week. Skylar Thompson makes his 4th career NFL start, injured early in the second half. The Seahawks were in control. The offense wasn't doing much with Thompson under center. Dealt with a rib injury that is now probably going to sideline him for at least a few weeks. Tim Boyle came into play for Miami yesterday as the Seahawks win 24-3, covering as a 4.5-point home favorite. Joe, Seattle is 3-0 and 2-0-1 against the spread.
He's done a great job. You know, he's done a great job getting the most out of Geno Smith. I thought, you know, a first-year head coach wouldn't be able to do that. But again, defensively, they are sound. You don't get a lot of chunk plays on Seattle, and they play very good red zone defense. That's what they did again yesterday. Now, here's the problem, though, for Miami big picture. We knew Skylar Thompson wasn't the answer. Certainly Tim Boyle, the former Jet, isn't the answer, right?
No.
We need a better quarterback. No. Yeah. Do they activate Huntley? Do they at least give him an opportunity to step up, or do they try and get somebody else, Josh Dobbs? I don't want Tannehill, but you can't go in the game, Ben. And, I was on the over yesterday. Maybe I'm a little bitter, but, Tyreek Hill is still there. Jaylen Waddle is still there. You have to throw the football down the field or find somebody that can get the football to those guys. You're not going to win just by running Devon Achan into the line. You can move it between the 30s, but you're not scoring any points.
Listen, an impossible situation, but we've seen Matt LaFleur flourish with Malik Willis when he wasn't even on the roster until the final few days before the start of the regular season. Something's got to give for the Finns. Joe, they're going to be booked as an underdog far more often. They were not pregame entering their first two against Jacksonville or even short week Thursday night football against Buffalo. Were the underdog yesterday, came nowhere close to covering. They're now 1-7 against the spread as an underdog, not covering by an average margin of nearly 13 points per game since the start of last season. Last game to break down for you from the Sunday slate. In what was, Joe, one of the underrated better games of the day, at least on paper, it was the 1-1 Lions, the 1-1 Cardinals in Arizona. And Detroit wins what turned out to be a defensive struggle. It was the highest total of the weekend, 51.5. And the Lions led 20-10 at the break. We thought we were going to see some scoring. Only 3 points scored in the entire second half by Arizona as Detroit wins on the road, 20-13, covering as a short 3-point road favorite.
Yeah, again, that was a very gutty effort in regards to that. You know, I saw the offensive line play in Detroit. They played very well. Again, not lights out, but we also saw the emergence, again, of Sam LaPorta. He was held in check first couple of weeks, 58 yards total between the first couple of weeks. He got into the 40s yesterday, and they're still running the football with Jahmyr Gibbs, right? As long as you could do that, that's a recipe to win games. They limited the big play against Kyler as well. They're going to be just fine in regards to potentially challenging for a playoff spot. We know that. Physically, offense and defensive lines are sound. Just don't turn the football over, and they did that yesterday to grind out that victory.
Montgomery, 105 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Also had 17 receiving yards. Jahmyr Gibbs, 83 yards on the ground and did score on the hook. And lateral down the field, Amon-Ra St. Brown pitching it off to his teammate Jahmyr Gibbs, who did the rest of the work finding Pater, one of the more exciting touchdowns. And Ben Johnson in his offensive bag there in Glendale. Leesy guy, let's start with some Monday Night Football previews. We'll give some picks on the other side. A doubleheader of games tonight. Buffalo, 5.5-point favorite at home against Jacksonville. The Jags, 0-2, looking for their first win of the year. Buffalo hoping to cruise to its third straight victory to be the fifth team in the NFL to still remain undefeated, 3-0. The Bengals winless, 0-2. Which has been the case each of the past 3 years. The previous two, they won in week three and would go on to win four of their next five following week two. They're a 7.5-point favorite against the Commanders in the second game on this Monday night doubleheader slate. We'll get Lisi's picks and breakdowns on the other side of the break, and then some quick college football news before we go as well. All of that still to come on Football Full Circle, live right here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A doubleheader of Monday Night Football to end out week three. First game up kicks at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time in Buffalo. The Bills host the Jags. 5.5-point spread. 45.5 is the over under. Then the second game that kicks about 45 minutes later, the Bengals more than a touchdown favorite. Again, at home against the Commanders, total 46.5. Lisi, how do you see these two games playing out?
Well, I think the first game, Jacksonville, I actually like the Jags to keep this game close and to potentially strike it. We see line movement from 4.5 to 5.5. I am jumping on the over in this game, Ben, and I do love Trevor Lawrence to break out. He hasn't stepped up in back-to-back games. That passing attack needs to be sound tonight. I'm going to alt them up at plus, I think it's plus, I got to double check it, plus 178, 180 for 250 plus. That's what I'm looking for out of the passing attack.
221.5 or 226.5 rather is his number. He has not thrown for more than 220 so far this season. In fact, Jacksonville tied for the third worst scoring offense in the National Football League. Yes, they haven't played their third game yet, but it has not been good. They scored 17 points in the opening half against Miami. Blanked in the second by the Finns, only 13 last week. You're going to hate that I like Jacksonville in this spot as well. As we've said, Lisi guy, 5.5-point underdogs or more this year, 13-2 against the spread, 9 outright victories. And we saw it yesterday with Baltimore, absolutely taking it to Buffalo. Maybe you look at the Jags in the first half. They understand the importance of avoiding an 0-3 start, because if you do, if you start winless 0-3, your chances of making the playoffs are slim to none, as we have seen based on recent history. Let's go to the second game of the night. Bengals, 7.5-point favorite against the Commanders. Cincinnati, like you know, has started 0-2, Lisa guy, each of the last 3 years, but at least in 2022 and 23, they did win week number 3 to avoid the winless 0-3 start. They should win tonight. Will it be a comfortable ride for the Bengals?
I don't think it will, Ben. I'm not sold in regards to the rushing attack with Chase Brown and Zach Moss. It hasn't been inconsistent for the most part. We saw Gesicki step up last week. I think Jaden Daniels looks more comfortable in the scheme to keep this game close. And hopefully on the road, they open it up. They just don't utilize Brian Robinson and the ground attack. He did have a big game last week against the Giants. But again, I lean to Cincinnati winning outright, you know, winning the game straight up. But I'll take the points. And again, here's the thing. This might be the double-double over-over. We saw the trend to the unders. Give me the double-double over-over tonight in both games.
Yeah, Joe, I think the Bengals go over their team total in the first half of 13.5. Again, since he understands they cannot start 0-3, they already were embarrassed as more than a touchdown favorite in their first home game of the year against the Patriots. Again, underdogs of 5.5 points or more have been great at covering numbers so far this year. And we've got two of those spots tonight. I do not think the Bengals start 0-3. I think Joe Burrow has a huge day. 1.5 passing touchdowns to the over for Joey B. You got to pay for it. It's juiced at minus 148. But each of the first two quarterbacks Washington has faced, including Daniel Jones, at least 2 passing touchdowns. Baker Mayfield threw for nearly 300 and 4 touchdowns against the Commanders in week 1. The line seems very strong in favor of Cincy for a reason to me. Natural thought would be, yeah, the Commanders keep this game to a touchdown or less. I think Cincy has a good night tonight to avoid the 0-3 start. Lisa Guy, let's talk a little bit of college football from the week 4 slate. Michigan outright as the underdog in the Big House, 27-24. They ran it all over the Trojans, 3 rushing touchdowns against USC as a team.
Yeah, a couple of things. That was a great last drive by Michigan. That's not the way you dial it up, though. You need Alex Orji to complete a pass. Yeah, I mean, there's no way. Yeah, we're going to have Mullings run it, run over 3 guys, and then take it down inside the 20-yard line. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I mean, what a break that was. So great effort by Michigan defensively. They contained Miller Moss for the most part. They forced him to work down the field. I was very impressed with Miller Moss, Ben. His poise in the pocket, especially in the second half. Both of those teams are going to be potential college football playoff contenders, but I was more impressed with that Michigan rushing attack in the second half. Unbelievable. But Orji, I would go back to Davis Warren at this point.
I mean, Lisa, yeah, USC looked good. Miller Moss had 283 yards, albeit he did throw 51 times. That final drive, a representation for Michigan. They had to go 89 yards. They had 10 plays. They attempted only 2 passes, neither completed. They ran it 8 times. USC got introduced to Big Ten football in a big way. Tennessee rolls in Norman and plenty other results we'll talk about throughout the week. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow. Noon.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.